with you.
We love you.
I guess you've always known it's true. Is that it? Why? Oh, why? The show is over. Say goodbye. Say goodbye.
Hey, what did Cinderella say when she got to the ball?
What? And on that note, welcome to Beautiful Trainwreck, the show where keeping it real gets mildly offensive and awkwardly amusing. My name is Sarah.
I'm Jay. I love how she just like clutched her chest as hard as she could.
I hope that picks up.
Yeah, well.
Oh, God. That.
So you guys, some of you all might be wondering why we're kind of awkwardly in here. But one, that's the show.
Yes.
That's just how things go.
That's how we roll.
But also, we just had some spirits. Yeah, so.
Tie toes. So yeah, welcome guys to episode number 35. Obviously, you know, we got to keep it customary and say, can you believe it? 35 episodes.
I seriously can't believe it.
Nor can we ever believe it. No. But yes, thank you again for joining us. If this is your first time, thanks for tuning in. Shout out to whoever got you into the show. Thank you to all of our friends that have been listening prior to today. Without y'all, don't know where we'd be. We'll probably still be recording, but
probably it just wouldn't touch as many ears.
Yeah.
I don't mean that like in the perverted fetish way.
Yeah.
I'm not about that life.
At least only off
that ain't my fetish.
But yeah, so thank you guys for listening. Really quickly, we want to let y'all know where you can follow us on social media. We're on Instagram at the BTW podcast. We're on Twitter at the_BTW podcast. We're also on Facebook at www.facebook.com/thebeautifultrainwreck. All one word.
Singular word.
If that's a word. Also, you can send us an email. You can reach us on Gmail at thebtwpodcast@gmail.com. I think that's it, right?
Yes.
Jay, why don't you tell them where they can listen to us?
Yeah, I'm finna.
Finna do that, Joe.
So echoing what Sarah said, thank you guys so much. You guys are listening to us currently right now. So whatever your medium is, please keep in mind that there are other mediums. You can listen to us on Spreaker, the OG.
Yes.
You can listen to us on Spotify, on iHeartRadio.
Sure enough can.
Google Play. And iTunes.
It's a Monday, y'all. I tell you what.
Yeah. Speaking of Monday, we're sitting here watching wrestling.
Yeah.
What are your memories of wrestling,
early
wrestling? Because I know we talked about it a little bit.
Well, of course, The Undertaker.
Oh, yeah. The Dead Man.
Cactus Jack, a.k.a. Mankind.
No, they're not the same people ever. They don't do that.
You're right.
Once somebody debuts, they're like the same person the whole
time.
You're right.
Obviously, Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage. Slim Jims.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Put into a Slim Jim. Oh, yeah.
Rest in peace.
God.
Macho Man.
Yeah. Speaking of rest in peace, the Four Horsemen. That was Benoit, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Or lack of better words.
Well, you know, no. See, I'm gonna turn into a wrestling nerd in a second. I just want to say that some of you guys don't know. I'm like actually a pretty fairly huge wrestling fan.
Yeah,
and
that's an understatement. I feel like.
Yeah, I'm gonna have some. We're gonna have a wrestling show one day.
Are we?
Yeah, I'm gonna dress in complete spandex.
My God.
It's gonna have the sequence and everything.
Tag team betrayal.
Yes. I'll be the Marty Jannetty of that shit.
Oh my God.
You'll be the Shawn Michaels where you turn on me. Anyway, we're nerding out.
Wow.
Today we have so many things to get into.
We do.
We're going to get into our week in review. We normally try to talk about our week, but the truth is that we're just really not that interesting to begin with. It's just if you couldn't tell.
Well, and the thing of it is, sometimes it's hard to differentiate what we've done collectively versus like independently.
Yeah.
So
we do have independent lives.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Like I'd be going to church on Sunday, but you'd be doing you'd be doing that heathen shit.
Okay. Right. Church of Satan is where he goes.
No. Don't you be telling them lies on me. You lie on my faith.
If I'm getting smited, you're going down with me, bruh.
Crab in a bucket.
Yep.
So there'll be our week in review. We talk about, what else are we talking about?
The king of R&B.
The king of R&B. We'll get into what we mean because some of you may or may not have heard, is it Jacquees?
I don't know.
R&B.
I'm not the one to.
So-called sensation has been heard saying and claiming that he's the king of R&B.
He is the king of R&B.
So that's sparked a lot of interest around the interwebs and among our social circles on creating a list of who's the king of R&B. And so,
and y'all know how much I love a good list.
That's right. So we're going to put that debate to sleep.
Yeah.
In one moment.
Because honestly.
Yeah.
We're going to briefly touch on something that always causes us drama week in and week out. The Washington Wizards.
Yeah. That team, yeah.
Yeah, those guys. And then we're also going to talk about something that, for once, I brought up as far as relationships go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is weird that it wasn't you that brought it up.
I know, right?
We're going to get into emotional cheating. Yeah. Let's talk about it.
No,
Yeah. Drum up some feelings of being uncomfortable and just throw the idea around. Not
Fine.
The idea around, but, you know, the topic of conversation. We shall discuss amongst ourselves.
Fine.
Fine. Okay. It's consensual, I swear. The topic, not... Wait, hold on. The topic, not the topic.
You're weird.
I know.
What did you drink today?
I know, man. I don't know. Got a full 8 hours of sleep, which I'm not going to get tonight, but that's okay.
Oh, that's all right. Don't worry. Yeah. We'll be out of here soon. Then.
Okay. I legit would be crawling into bed right meow. Anyway, so let's get this party started. Julian.
See?
Tell me about your week. What'd you do? What'd you get into? What happened? Tell me all the things.
Well.
Glad you asked.
I'll see if I can condense this. Give you the Cliff Notes version of it.
Synopsis.
Synopsis, yeah.
Yeah.
So basically this past week, I had a chance to hang out with some people that I really enjoy hanging out with. It's always good catching up with people. Over the weekend, I hung out with Judy, who's in town from Texas. I went to school with Judy from grad school. And it's, you know, always kept in contact. And I was talking to you earlier about how Judy's actually going to be joining Stephanie and I. Stephanie, a.k.a. My girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Wait, your girlfriend, not my girlfriend.
Correct. And we're actually going to London in January. So we're looking forward to that. And it's funny because we hung out and we actually went to La Tosca and did like the whole Latin dancing.
Which is like your jam.
Nope. That's false.
I hear you actually love Latin dancing. Like you personally, like you love to do it.
I'll tell you what, if I had the chance, I would have tagged you in and then you could have gone.
Oh my God.
No.
Do you remember when I surprised you that I could actually like.
You always surprise me because you're a Chilean minor.
Wait, do it.
This too much.
I just be appearing out of places and shit.
You know, what was it last year?
It was Steph. No, it was
Unplugged. Years. Yeah. Unplugged, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
anyway, so Sarah shows up, you know, doing her thing, looking like a snack and everything.
Of course.
All of a sudden, you know, that salsa music comes on and all of a sudden I'm just doing a double take.
The little Chilean that's raised by the Americans.
Yeah, the little Chilean that could.
Yeah.
and did.
Yeah. Be out here.
Yeah. Yeah. And you were dancing. Who are you dancing with?
I don't remember.
I don't know. It wasn't me because I don't do that. Make it sound like it's a drug.
Just so you know, whenever you see Julian out in public, just always suggest you go Latin dancing because he will 110% say, fuck no.
No. Okay. Here's my thing. I will.
I'll go. Yeah.
But trust and believe, I'm going to be holding up the wall with the Tito's and soda in my hand.
Tito's. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was good times. Stephanie had fun. Judy had fun. The rest of the squad had fun. So, you know, that's really what it's all about.
I mean, did you have fun despite not partaking in said dancing?
Yeah, because I'm the type of person I prefer like a good crew.
Yeah.
Nothing beats a good crew.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. Y'all can be doing the most squad like reckless shit, but, you know,
fun in a paper bag.
Yeah, that's right. So it was a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. She'll be in town for a couple of weeks. So hopefully we can all.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Get together again. You know, I won't be Latin dancing, but, you know.
Yeah.
So that was cool. The other person I had a chance to hang out with, which I really appreciated, was our man, Sheldon. Our boy. It's your boy.
Okay. Philip.
Yeah. So our boy, Sheldon. And it's always good catching up with him. I mean, we have a chance to kind of sit down and talk about things, bounce ideas off of each other. I always appreciate I'm not saying this like in a snarky way or, you know, but the intellectual conversation that we always have and talk about things like, is just a tip cheating, you know,
which no, it's not.
Yeah. Like, do Spanish snakes speak in a lisp? You know? like we don't know these things.
These are questions unanswered.
Yeah.
One thing that I really do appreciate about Sheldon is that he is by far one of the most entertaining people I've ever encountered in my entire life. Mm-hmm. And I say that meaning...
Oh, he's here for your entertainment? Is that what you're saying?
Nah, man. Like, the shit that, like, his thought process about things makes so much damn sense, like, on a deeper level. Mm-hmm. And, like, I appreciate how he can... what was that line from Dear White People that... that what he likes so much about Sam is that, like, she could speak so intellectually, but then use a four-letter word every other word or something like that. Ah, I gotta find it. But that's how Sheldon is. Like,
can
speak so profoundly on something, but then just drop, like, a motherfucker in the middle of the next sentence. You know what I mean?
For the ignorant niggas.
Yeah, exactly. Well played.
Yeah. It's a Lauryn Hill line, by the way.
Yeah, it's... I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
You know?
So, we're looking forward to, you know, for... big things coming soon. Yep. Hopefully we can all, you know, get together, kind of chop it
collabo.
Up.
Collabo.
Collabo.
As they say.
Yeah. So that was great. There's more things I can share, but I don't want to dominate this
segment. Well, hold on. No, because we can intertwine things. Okay. Not like crossing swords, to be clear.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. never that.
But yeah. So my week was pretty chill. Nothing happened really during the week. One thing that I did appreciate is that I... had the honor and pleasure of meeting up with one of my old coworkers from the doctor's office I used to work at, my girl Perry.
Purry?
Purry, yeah. We called her Purr. Purr.
Is that kind of like what you do when...
when I see certain snacks?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got to hang out. And it's what I love so much about Perry is that how much she hates social interaction.
Hmm.
She's just not a people person.
Hmm.
She's very introverted, but she's by far one of the most... intellectual humans I've ever encountered.
Really?
Like, oh my god, she's so fucking smart. So we decided to meet up at a bar that I frequent quite often in the Gaithersburg area. And sure enough, when I like, so she was like, hey, you know, I'll just grab us a table. And I was like, well, are you cool with us meeting up in the bar, because like some of my favorite bartenders are there. Shout out to my girl Tania and Keith. And she's like, all right, cool, that's fine. This is before, like, walking into the bar. Like, we're texting back and forth, right? So we met up, and I'm walking in to the bar. And I see literally everyone I worked with at my first job out of grad school.
Wow.
So, like, we're taking it back a good damn near 10 years ago.
Right.
And I'm like, it's kind of one of those things you walk in, you're like, wait a minute. Where the fuck am I?
Right.
Did I walk into the right
flashback?
Place?
Flashback? Did I walk into the right time?
So it was another orthopedic office I used to work for. It was their holiday party. And apparently they rented out the space, but not really rented out the space. I walked smack dab into their holiday party.
Wow.
Had no idea. No idea.
Was everybody like, Sarah?
Yeah, they're like, Nichols! And I was like...
I really thought you were going to say the N-word. Really? Like, what are black people like?
I was like, oh my God. Hi, guys.
Hi.
And of course, I felt so bad for Perry because the last thing she wanted to do was interact with more humans that day.
Mm.
And yet, here I am pretty much placing a smack dab in the middle of social interaction.
Yeah. Gotcha, bitch.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I had no idea this was going to happen.
Wink, wink.
And like, in all honesty, and I love the people I used to work with, but it was one of those days when I'm like, I really don't want to just catch up with people. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Have you been? And there were a couple people there that like I really genuinely did want to catch up with, but I felt bad because I couldn't give them my straight up attention, you know?
Yeah, it's tough when you have a lot of people.
Yeah, you go and you're like, all right, I'm here so we can chill. And we went pretty early thinking like, no one's going to be here, you know? And then there's legit 50 people in the bar.
Little did she know.
Yeah.
She was wrong.
So I'm sitting there like, oh God, all of this is so weird. But again, that is a beautiful train wreck. That is my life.
Oh, and there you go.
But it was cool. It was good to catch up with her, touch base with some of my old coworkers. The best part is that I was asleep by 7 p.m.
That's so weird.
It was amazing.
Wait, that was like Friday?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was when you were at La Tosca and you're like, hey, come out. I'm like, yeah, let me just catch a snap right quick.
You hit me with the hard pass.
Straight comatose.
Yeah. Anything else?
Well, I kind of want to talk about our Saturday night because they happen parallel to each other.
Ah, yes.
And but yeah, we kept texting and like, yo, how's your party? You know what I mean?
Oh, right, okay.
It was I felt that to be very entertaining.
Yeah.
Because here we are, like, legit having all the fun, like, separately. But yeah, like, but like, again, I feel like I was completely involved because because everyone that you were there with, like, I follow them on social media and Snapchat.
So you see all, yeah.
So I saw everything.
Yeah.
So I lived very vicariously through it.
So what Sarah's alluding to is that over the weekend, I had a chance to go to the annual tacky sweater party as held by our friend Chessy. Not to be confused with Chesty.
Oh my God, chips came out of my nose. And I didn't knock it over.
Not the worst thing to come out of your nose. Anyway. I'm talking about a nose ring, of course.
Oh my God.
The stud.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it was a good time. It's always a good time going over there. Chessy really knows how to throw a party, and we had a lot of fun, and it was cool. Stephanie was there with me, and you know, some of our favorites. We got T, Mar, just pretty much everybody.
The Chuts.
And
the Chutties.
Yeah, so it was a lot of fun. And
the decor looked fabulous.
Oh, yeah. Chessy knows how to throw a party.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been trying to get her. Were you there a couple years ago when she had that 90s party?
Yes.
Yes, you were.
It was, That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That shit was fun.
The funny part was is that like I literally just pulled out like leggings, J's, and an old t-shirt that was my favorite. And I was like, okay, this works.
I'm ready.
My hoops. And I actually still had a scrunchie at that point.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Scrunchie.
But it wasn't. I mean, some people there. What I appreciate about Chessy's parties is that like people commit. Like I'm one of those half-assed people like, oh, yeah. Like, example A, I just pull shit out of the closet. I'm like, hey, this works. This is on theme.
Yeah, I mean.
But then you have people like the Chuts.
They come through. Oh, and they go horde.
Yeah.
They have the tandem sweater.
That shit was awesome.
That's goals right there, dude.
T's out here rocking like Christmas lights around his neck and shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so you went out as well.
Mm-hmm. So I had the honor and pleasure of going out to celebrate my dear friend, Shelby Jupiter, a.k.a. Sherbles P. Jupitus. That's what I call him.
Hey,
makes no sense whatsoever.
I like both names.
We went out to celebrate his 93rd birthday.
Mm-hmm. 93rd.
AKA his 39th birthday. I'm putting all your shit out there, Shelby.
Damn. He don't look a day over 28.
Right? Yo, he's well preserved.
And I'm not even saying that just to be nice. Like,
if you guys know my man Shelby, like, well, Shelby, again, I feel like he knows all of Montgomery County.
Yeah.
Like when we first became friends on Facebook without even being friends with people, without even me being friends with the rest of our coworkers, we still had like 100 mutual friends.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I think he's one of the top people that I have mutual friends with on the Book of Faces. I think it's like 171.
Damn.
Yeah. Kalen's up there too with like 200 or something like that. It's crazy. Anyway. We went out for his birthday in D.C. and it was cool because one thing that I will give Shelby, he's pretty low key about a lot of things, mm-hmm. but that man loves celebrating a good birthday.
Yeah.
He loves a good birthday celebration.
Yeah.
Like he'll show up for yours too. Like, yeah, like turn up, you know, like ready to go. Next thing you know, there's a shot of J-Mo just sitting there and you're just like,
Welp.
Bye. I'm blacking out tonight. But like I appreciated as many people came out despite how disgusting it was out Saturday. I built my arc and but I
that's how you know somebody's dedicated. They show up when it's shitty outside and they still show up for your shit.
Yeah.
Dedication.
Yeah, so it was cool. I mean, a lot of the squadron was in attendance.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the thing that again, like you said, I could have fun with these people in a paper bag.
Right.
Yeah. But it was cool to just kind of step out into the city, like nicely dressed, you know, some good music and just dance the pain away.
Dance the pain away. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good stuff. But again, I felt like some of my friends, I had some libations. And I prepared. I knew I wasn't going to be driving any type of vehicle that night.
That's a smart and strong move.
Yeah.
Solid one.
Yeah. I spent the night at my dear friend Erica's house, Schmerica. But I was a solid social media. I was a solid Snapchatter that night, and I'm not normally that active on the Snapchat.
Yeah, I received a snap from you, and I think I sent you a snap too.
Oh yeah, what I appreciate is when you guys started singing Africa.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
That warmed my heart.
You know what? Africa would not be the same without you. I just got to be honest. I mean, or Toto. Let's be fair.
But. Well, when I was watching it, at that point, I think I was maybe lying on their couch. Uh-huh. So I was sitting there, I was like, like, I'm like singing along with you guys, yeah, like as if I'm there, but I'm like too inebriated to realize, like, bitch, you ain't there. This shit already happened.
Bitch, you ain't there. This is it's in the past.
Yeah, I hit the harmony too instead of my normal part.
Good. You know who can't hit the harmony?
Who?
T. Yeah. So I'm glad you rectified my circle of friends. Yeah, we brought that.
Oh, T.
Yeah, so it was a lot of fun. And yeah, so social interaction is always one of the things.
Excellent.
And we'll actually kind of circle back to that because I know that we'll talk about a certain subject that builds into that. But first, the sports section.
sports.
Guys, what? So, first of all, the internet is such a wonderful place. A video that we saw, thanks to, was it Albert who sent us that?
I think Norma sent it to us too.
Was it? Okay. Well, anyway, several of our friends sent us.
Because they'd be knowing.
Yeah. Sent us this this IG post of, you guys remember the NBA on NBC theme? So anyway, it's like reimagine using Kawhi Leonard's laugh.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So.
You do that really well.
Yeah, I'm a master of it. But yeah, it's funny. Go out of your way to check that out because it's real fun. So NBA, Washington Wizards. Pacifically.
This is who we're specifically talking about.
Yes. So if you're a Washington sports fan, especially the Wizards fan, then you know that this past weekend marked a trade for the Washington Wizards. So the Wizards got rid of Austin Rivers. God, yes. I hate to see him go. I do. I really do.
That shit made me.
I'm completely kidding.
So happy.
Although his jab step is pretty serious. I don't know.
Yeah.
I enjoyed watching that. But
I mean, he went to Duke, so fuck him.
That's fair. I can't even argue with that.
Yeah.
And we also got rid of our biggest trade bargaining chip, if mm-hmm. you will, Mr. Mm-hmm. Kelly Oubre Jr.
Yeah, KO.
We went to the Phoenix Suns, or Pohenix, for Trevor Ariza. Now, it was surprising because it began as a three-way trade.
Yeah.
And it had, I believe it had Oubre, the same players from the Wizards, Oubre and Austin Rivers, but it had Oubre going to Memphis, I believe.
Yes.
Had Oubre going to Memphis, we would get... So we would still get Trevor Ariza. Austin Rivers would go to Pohenix. And I think another team, I don't think it was the Wizards, but would have gotten, I don't remember the first name Brooks, but I remember they got the wrong Brooks.
Yes. Yeah.
Because
it
wasn't Marshawn Brooks, who that's who they thought it was or something like that. And if PJ is listening, Marshawn Brooks used to play for the Nets. He used to be such a fucking animal. I wonder what happened. I wonder if that's going to be the same for Caris LeVert.
Yeah.
That's neither here nor there.
I remember when. Because you're the one that first sent me the initial text.
Yeah.
Saying, you know, that this had gone through or like had happened or something.
It was like proposed or whatever.
Yeah. And then they botched it.
Yeah, they botched it.
They hit the Stan Smith Craig. Yeah, they hit the
Stan. Oh, yeah, we botched it. We botched it. I was like, damn. And I'm a very imaginative person. So what I imagined was, so after it was confirmed that the deal did not go through or whatever, I imagined was like, I don't know, just the Washington Wizards, just somebody from the Washington Wizards just there with their dick in their hand. Like, the bluest of balls.
Oh my God, that's but amazing.
I do want to say this. It took me a little bit. Well, first of all, we're here on Monday and it was actually just confirmed today. So Trevor Ariza is indeed coming to the Wizards, back to the Wizards. So, which is good. Now, I'm not really big on, or initially when I heard of this trade, I wasn't really big on it because I'm like, okay, well, we're getting rid of our biggest trade bargaining chip in Kelly Oubre, and he's a young player and he's a future. He's probably not going to sign with us, so I guess we had to get rid of him. But we're getting a veteran. But in that, it hit me in the face because Norma threw it.
Yep.
And shout out to Norma because she like hit me with the most clarity on this. But she's like, I mean, John Wall needs veteran leadership because there is no leaders on this team.
No.
There are no leaders on this team, and we need somebody. Because John Wall, I love him, okay? I mean, not that way, baby. I love him. But, I mean, we need leaderships like a...
Yes, shit. We do.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
Okay.
All right, good talk.
Yes, I do appreciate the fact that it does help the leadership aspect of it. But I don't think it's going to be enough to make any kind of dent in the playoffs. I think it doesn't really help the fact that we still don't have someone who can stand in the paint and be a dominant force. I had a lot. A lot of people that I've talked to fucking love Thomas Bryant. I don't understand it. Like, oh, he's so athletic, blah 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 blah. The way he covers up and down the court. That again, that man is softer than puppy shit. It's impressive. Just when I didn't think anyone could be worse than Gortat or Yamahimi, here comes this 12-year-old child.
I am still on Gortat's team. I'm sorry. Nah. But I will say this. I was watching the Wizards game yesterday. Well, first of all, I just want to say that the Wizards actually looked like they gave a fuck. Now, granted, okay, so you had Brandon Ingram out, Rajon Rondo out. The Lakers are playing their second game of a back-to-back.
Yeah.
So, okay, I get it. So they're down and they're on the road, which there are still a shit ton of Lakers fans.
Oh, God.
But anyway, the Wizards actually looked like they were playing. They were working the ball around. They were playing like they gave a fuck. They were getting production out of Sam Decker, your new snack.
Nope.
Yeah.
Look, I do appreciate his productivity, but he is not a snack.
Okay.
Bye. He does not replace Jason Snacks himself.
Snack in the dictionary, you got Jason Smith.
Jason Smith.
Yeah.
Jason Victor Smith.
Oh, the whole? The whole gov?
I'm just saying.
Wow.
It's on the interwebs.
With a C or a K?
It's a C.
Oh, okay. So.
March 2nd?
You're doing way too much right now. You're scaring me.
Whatever. You're the... Okay, anyway.
You know what? You need to give this much effort and attention to going to church every Sunday. That's what you need.
That is... Yo, if that ain't the entire fucking truth, that is very well played,
yeah.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Wall dropped 40...
He had 40 and like 16.
And like 6 assists. Six rebounds.
Something like that. You had Jeff Green started, who... gave us 20.
We were without Otto for the third straight game.
Yep, and he's gonna be out for another week at least. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I think that we are three heavy, personally. Yeah, I mean, shit, we need a small forward. We got like 12.
Right. Well, I feel like now they're just gonna try and rotate athletic fours back into the center to make for the fact that we don't have the only size we have on the team is Thomas Bryant.
Yeah, and he's even an undersized. He's like, what, 6'10", 6'11"?
Yeah.
Starting at the 5. I mean, it's whatever.
I got rid of my snack.
Well, you know what? I'm still going to be cautiously optimistic. I will be looking forward to going to some upcoming games. Yeah. I would like to. I'm going to be really ambitious. And I'm just going to put this out there in the universe. I'm trying to go to 3 games before the end of the year.
So hit that back-to-back joint?
I want to.
That would make...
Wait, we're talking about the games, though?
Ew. Yo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then, I mean, I'm not going to go out and, you know, proclaim my fandom towards the Hornets, but...
You and Kemba Walker. Don't lie. Yo, you know you got a Kemba Walker.
I love me some Kemba Walker,
you got
man.
A Kemba Walker poster on your wall.
Tony Parker, too.
Hey, you
can't high-key let me some TP. Yeah. Sans the whole Eva Longoria scenario. Anyway.
Well, if you weren't a basketball player, you would never know that happened. Am I wrong? Where's the lie? Anyway.
Okay. I guess that's enough about...
Speaking of which, okay. Eva Longoria and Tony Parker, there was a whole cheating thing, right?
There was a cheating thing. That's a great transition. Okay. Tony Parker cheated on Eva Longoria.
Mm-hmm.
Had a physical affair. With someone else, correct?
You can't prove that. No, I'm just kidding.
No, because it was just a tip, so therefore it doesn't count.
Just a tip is not cheating, I'm telling you. I mean, I wouldn't do it, you know.
Just saying. So one thing I want to talk about that has been a topic of conversation in several of my friend circles is emotional cheating.
What is that?
I guess it's kind of just because this time of year, you know, drama tends to drum up easier than normal. You know, whatever, it's the holidays, things are all kinds of crazy.
Well, emotions are running high.
Yeah. And I have a couple of friends and we're talking about it, you know, just the idea. And if you've ever been through it is emotional cheating and trying to find the most basic definition of emotional cheating. Mm-hmm. Right. And of course, obviously, since everything on Wikipedia, again, 110% credible. Duh.
Right.
It's what got me through high school. Okay.
Wait, they had Wikipedia back then?
Yeah.
What?
It was like brand new.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't like... All right, I'm not going to use Wikipedia. Emotional cheating, it can be somewhat defined as how an outside relationship affects the levels of intimacy in a current significant relationship. So let's say, let's imagine I'm actually dating someone.
Hey, it's tough. Your Bumble profile.
I tell you, I got to dust that thing off.
Sarah,
the 30? Profile, to be clear. the Bumble profile, let's be clear. So, you know, I'm dating someone and let's say one of my friendships, in this case with a male, is actually taking away from how I intimately react and or act with my current significant other.
Right.
That can be defined as emotional cheating. Now, one thing that they were talking about, and again, throughout different conversations, emotional cheating has a couple different factors into it. Like one thing that we were talking about is, like, I guess more so the cause and effect. Like just because someone is insecure, which does play a part into it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And trust levels. Can that misconstrue the observation of like, oh, well, you're emotionally cheating on me.
Right.
You know, that was one question. And then the things that we had to ask ourselves is, well, does that outside relationship affect the current intimacy between you and your significant other?
Mm-hmm.
And largely from what we were talking about is that these specific situations kind of, it more so looked as if though it hinged on insecurity on both ends. So there was an actual, in one case, emotional cheating going on, but it presented itself because like both people in the relationship were drastically insecure.
Right. Okay.
For whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So the one partner that was, I guess, quote unquote, guilty of it was the most emotional cheating on their significant other because they already thought that they were kind of the other partner was doing it as well. Does that make sense?
It's like kind of like they're both doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it kind of be kicked in as a defense mechanism. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Even if kind of like a justification, like, well,
yes,
I'm doing this.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, but again, my moral of the story is how open is that line of communication?
Yeah. I mean, how open is that line of communication or how open should it be? Keep in mind, I hate the word should.
Question. Yeah, that's a great question too.
Because, and the reason I phrase it that way is because from what I'm hearing you say, I mean, I think there's one understanding of what emotional cheating is, but we don't know the level of conversation that they had just in terms of like what the boundaries are and what is emotional cheating.
Right. You know? So let's say for conversation's sake that in order to prevent emotional cheating, mm-hmm. is it something that can necessarily be prevented?
I guess the question is, if you're asking a question to me, I would say no. Okay. And the reason is because that's a question right along the lines of, can social interaction be prevented? And I mean, obviously, yes, it can be. But at the same time, let's just say there's somebody. Okay, let me just back up and explain it like this. This is kind of how I think about things. Anybody that you talk to, and we've actually talked a little bit about this off pod. But for me to actually consider somebody, not sounding cocky or condescending, but like worthy of talking to, yeah. you know, or somebody that I might gravitate toward, there, for me, there has to be some sort of emotional connection.
Right.
You know, like one of the things I hate and actually causes anxiety for me is superficial conversation and disingenuous conversation with people. Yep. I hate it. It's because I feel that I can talk to anybody and I feel like I can connect with anybody. And so that's one of the things for me. Now, telling somebody else that might be a red flag for them because, like, no, yeah. because, you know, I have to be your number one and yeah. you know, you got to tell me things or whatever. And we're going to just self-disclose right now. There are certain things that I feel maybe comfortable in sharing with other people in my life mm-hmm. and not necessarily Stephanie. And I don't mean like as a hiding thing.
Right.
But what is Stephanie going to tell me about the best hip hop album from 1996? You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, it's just stuff like that. It's a conversation that I can have.
Mm-hmm.
me having that conversation, an example, being in College Park with you guys and going into that hip hop bar where Notorious Thugs was playing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not everybody gets that.
Exactly.
You know? And so that's an experience that we, a collective experience that we all had that we can attach an emotion to, you know?
Okay. That's very fair. That's a great way of putting it.
But there's an emotion attached to when we went to Spain and Portugal and all the other places that we went. I'm not trying to stunt, but I'm saying so.
But yet he is.
You know, just anybody in your life. I feel that I've had an emotional connection to the people that I went to grad school with. Mm-hmm. It's because we were both going through the same kind of struggle. In the trenches together. You know what I mean? So it's like, damn, like we got through this. You know, this is the hardest paper. This is my favorite class. This and that. It's like, damn, I get it. You know what I mean?
So again, where do you draw the line between that and your significant other?
Like, how do I differentiate my significant other between them?
Yeah.
I think it starts...
Because there should be boundaries.
Oh, there should be boundaries in any relationship that you have. Any interaction that you have with anybody, there has to be boundaries. Right. I think in the example of grad school, I think it also helps that like Stephanie knows a number of them because you know, in the same field and same mutual friends. But you know, it does this is against like normally what I say, but you know, your significant other does have to come up in the conversation.
Yes.
You know, at some point it's not going to be like my girlfriend, because I don't do that. I don't brag, and that's very insecure to me to do.
Agreed.
But that has to be it. If there is some inkling of like, oh, you know, you're talking to somebody, you're getting closer or whatever, like, hey, like, you know, do you want to get together to study or this or that? That does have to come up somehow. You know, it does. It really does. You know, so but differentiating that, just being open and honest about the boundaries that you have and also the important people in your life.
Yes.
You know, Stephanie's important to me. So people are going to know that she's in my life and what her role in my life is.
I think one thing that is a big factor for me is when you and I talked about this, that one of the big factors for me to be happy in my workplace is to be close with the people I work with.
Right. Yeah.
To establish, like you said, your grad school people, like you're in the trenches together. So absolutely. I need to, it's a team atmosphere for me. Like I need to know that, or I would like to know that, you know, we all have each other's back to an extent, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I very much so am become very close with the people that I work with. But in turn, I also want my significant other to not necessarily be close with them, but you know, to be very aware of like, hey, you know, I'm going out with these people tonight. It's like, all right, cool. Yeah, go have fun. You know what I mean? So like, again, the level of disclosure is there, you know? And like you said, I don't have to tell them every little thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I'm going to go out to lunch with someone like, oh, well, we're all just going to go out to get something to eat. I don't feel as if that's something that needs to be disclosed, you know, nor do I feel like it's something that they need to trip about either.
Yeah.
And vice versa. If they were to do the same, like, oh yeah, well, we're going to go do this for lunch. Cool. Go have fun.
I could honestly say, and it just, talking about this with you kind of reminds me of one of the most comforting feelings that you can have is to have somebody in your life that you can go up to and say, hey, you know what I learned the other day? Or you know what I'm having trouble dealing with, or you know what I'm having trouble, you know, and not like a deep thing that you're having trouble dealing with, like you know, how is it so cold today and yesterday was like 80 degrees, you know, stuff like so it's great to have that because that builds rapport, and that's really all you want.
It's like a shared experience.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think one thing that we talked about earlier too is that's important to, I don't necessarily want to say differentiate, but I guess incorporate into relationships in general, is the friendships you had prior to stepping into that relationship.
That's very, very valid.
And I feel like that plays a big part into making, I don't want to use the word making sure, the phrase making sure, but I guess for the lack of better phrasing, like making sure that the idea of emotional cheating doesn't necessarily happen. You know what I mean? I guess to add extra reinsurance to your significant other, to make them feel safe in your relationship and vice versa, that like, hey, you're my person. However, these people will also play a significant role in my life in a different way than you do, you know? And it's very important to me to make sure that they stay in my life. And I would like to be a cohesive unit of sorts, you know, to have that open line of communication. Now, this is where the insecurity part takes over mm-hmm. and making sure that, like, if whoever you're entering into this relationship with already has that level of insecurity where they're like, whoa, well, that's fucking weird, then that's something that needs to be discussed prior to committing to
each other. Very much so. Yeah. I think one of the things that those people who inherently have issues with that is what they need to understand is the fact that without those people who existed before them, you're not you.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
I'm not who I am unless I met PJ.
Right.
And Nate and Sheldon and all those guys back in College Park.
Yeah.
I'm not who I am if I didn't live with Eric. You know what I mean?
Like an Eric experience?
Yeah. Yes.
What about the JoJo autograph?
It's a deep cut, man. You know what?
No, you got you an autograph. We'll have to post that, guys. What I just alluded to is another night out with Eric from the Mike and Eric experience. And that's one thing, again, I love is watching you and Eric interact with each other. That's pure, genuine relationship right there. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And that took years to cultivate.
But
and
you two aren't like who you are without.
Absolutely.
It's part of the fabric of life.
Absolutely. Ooh. He's one of my... Yeah, there you go.
That's another thing like we're talking about too, is like, is there a quote unquote appropriate amount of information to disclose? Under disclosing versus over disclosing?
I don't know. When it comes to interaction of people outside of your relationship, there's no such thing as under disclosing when it comes to
facts about your relationship.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Over disclosing, yes, there is a such thing. You know, I'm not gonna talk about details of what happens behind closed doors, like in terms of our very private life and in terms of like how we interact with each other.
Yeah. Or how you guys
in our most intimate ways. And I'm not talking about sex, but just in our most intimate ways.
Yeah.
That's not everybody's business. You know what I mean? And I feel comfortable discussing that with Stephanie, but I I'm not going to be like, oh yeah, this happened. And I say things like Eric. So.
I think the level of disclosure within your significant relationship also kind of hinges on insecurity as well too.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the stuff that we're talking about kind of insecurity plays a huge role into this. You know what I mean? Like it's
the feeling, not the TV show.
Yes. Nicely done. We have to be honest about the fact that eradicating insecurity in a lot of ways is a goal. I feel like part of my role, and I'm just going to speak basically in my relationship, is to make sure that insecurity has as little of a role in our relationship as possible.
In order for it to be healthy.
Well, yeah. You know what I mean? And there are things that I'm insecure about, like as it pertains to myself.
Right.
But I'm open and honest about these insecurities that I have.
And that in itself, I feel, helps define the level of intimacy between you and your significant other.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But there are very few things more valuable than to say, hey, you know what? This is something that I'm having a pretty hard time dealing with.
Yeah.
I haven't really processed it, but I just want to let you know that I'm having a hard time with it. Right. The other part of that is saying that I want this to not be a problem. Because there are people who say, you know what? I'm insecure about this and I'm going to be insecure about this. That's not.
And that's where I think people kind of misconstrue that as like, hey, I'm taking accountability of that. But you're not, because all you're doing is just stating.
You're stating the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no lie, it's something I'm guilty of too, because there have been situations like, you know what? I'm okay with the fact that I feel this way and don't want to do anything about it. Yeah. Now, usually it's short term. That's usually just me being like, you know what? I don't feel good about this and I'm going to be in my feelings about this. But what I try to do is at least like, okay, Sarah, you have exactly 24 hours to be butthurt about it. Then after that, it's time to move the fuck on.
Right. But I would suggest though, for some people that does work, but you also want to make sure that you take the proper amount of time to address it. Yeah. Because sweeping it under the rug is just going to compound the feelings and then you're going to blow up.
And one thing that we've talked about before too is understanding, yes, you can sit here and like stew in these emotions, but you also, one thing in order to help yourself move on and grow from it is to understand why it made you feel that way.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I think that very much so plays into the insecurity roles. Like, why do I feel so damn insecure about this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's, to me, is one way that, you know, you can move towards a more healthy relationship is by sitting down with your significant other and trying to identify that together.
Yes. And working through it together.
Yes.
Identify and work through.
Yes.
So we want to keep this conversation going. We're curious as to what do you feel emotional cheating is to you?
Yeah.
Because everybody's going to have a different definition. And I have a different definition than probably maybe what Sarah has. And, you know, we all have different definitions. Yeah. So we'd love to hear from you guys. Reach out to us on Twitter at @_BTW podcast. You can reach us on Instagram at @BTW podcast. Facebook, www.facebook.com/thebeautifultrainwreck. Even email us.
Yes, please do that.
TheBTWpodcast@gmail.com.
There it is.
So we want to keep the conversation going. We'll post this question up and hopefully we'll get some awesome answers for you guys.
Interesting answers.
Yes. Yeah. So as we're nearing the end of the show, and I say nearing because we're not there just yet, we're going to have a little speed round of sorts.
Oh my God.
So as we alluded to earlier in the show, there has been a small uprising on the interwebs regarding this king of R&B.
Oof.
Now, Jacquees, I think that's his name, or Jacquees, yeah. Whatever, I don't know, whatever the fuck his name is.
That guy.
Yeah. So he's been the self-proclaimed king of R&B, which has prompted a lot of people on social media to create a list of who they believe the kings of R&B are.
But I saw one list, man, and I don't know. He lost a lot of credibility. Not like he had much to begin with.
Well, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Yes. Yeah.
But if we're thinking about the same person.
Oh, yes.
Then it's not, I'll be honest with you, it's not really inconsistent with a lot of the other lists that I have seen through my circle of friends.
Okay.
And one person that you and I feel fairly strongly about.
Yep.
Is who we've decided.
Yep.
Is the beautiful Trainwreck's king of R&B.
We're going to stamp this.
Yes, stamp of approval. And that person is none other than, Sarah, do me the honor. Oof.
Kenneth Babyface Edmonds.
Yeah. It kind of baffled me that he was absent from so many people lists. And it's weird, but we also have to take a step back and take into account the fact that, well, R&B means different things to different people. Mm-hmm. And also you have different eras. Okay, because you obviously have the Stevie Wonders. You got the Marvin Gaye's.
Luther Vandross.
Then you have the newer people.
Miguel
belongs on the list.
Yeah.
I would say Usher would be on my list, yep. But we're not talking about a list.
Chris Brown,
yeah, definitely. And there's probably a ton of other people that we've neglected. But let me just tell you, and we're going to tell you. We even alluded to it before in a previous show. But the Babyface set that we went to go see.
Oh, my God. Fire.
It was great. It was an hour and a half set.
Yeah, and he just went straight through it.
Straight through. The first 45 minutes, he played his songs that he actually performed.
Yeah.
And then the last 45 minutes, he played songs that he had a hand in producing. Now, we're going to go through some of the names that he's worked with, because it's a pretty impressive list.
Give them the facts, Julian.
So keep in mind, he spans decades, too. So we're going back to the 80s now. Some of you might not know, but he was in the R&B group The Deal, D-E-E-L-E, by the way.
To be clear.
Yeah, to be very clear. But he's worked with Bobby Brown, Paula Abdul back like in the height of her popularity.
Wow.
And a guy that you might know, I don't know, what's his name? Michael?
Jordan.
Michael
B. Jordan.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No. Yes. Stairs in Shimon.
Shimon then.
Mr. Michael Jackson.
Wow. So, of Gary, Indiana?
Yes. Gary. 2300 Jackson Street.
Oh, not that we know our Jackson facts.
Yeah. But among some of the other names, Whitney Houston, man. Boys to Men. He even worked with Madonna. We were talking about this before the show. Take a Bow. Take a bow. We're not going to sing it again, though.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, shoot.
Your baby tonight. Great. Sorry, song. I know that's Whitney.
Well, yeah,
but that's the song that worked.
That's the song he wrote. He
Pink.
Also, worked with Pink. Wow, the list goes on and on. Worked with Mary J. Blige, Brandy.
Dear Lord, man. Eric Clapton. Wow, Casey and JoJo, NSYNC.
Yeah, NSYNC.
Damn.
Yeah.
In Vogue.
Never gonna get it. Never gonna get it.
Never gonna get it.
If I'm singing the harmonies, you can't sing the.
Never gonna get it. Oh, whoa.
No, that's not gonna work today.
Bruno Mars. Good Lord. Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
Oh wait. Here's a little name. Say Mariah Carey.
Yeah, her.
Yeah.
That girl.
Bruh.
Yeah. So that is the beautiful train wrecks, king of R&B.
Gender fluidity.
Yeah.
Three consecutive Grammy Awards for Producer of the Year from 1995 to 1997. Yeah. He's the king, man. He has to be.
He's the king. Now, before we get out of here, I want to share something weird that happened to me, and I want to get your take on it. Okay.
You're not alone.
Okay. Thanks, Michael. Yeah. So while I was, I mentioned earlier that I had a chance to hang out with my friend from grad school, Judy. And one of the places we went to two places. One was less Latin than the other. Anyway, so as what happens sometimes when we have liquid in us, we tend to need to go to the bathroom and utilize the facilities. Well, as I'm going to the urinal, right? We're going to talk about bathroom stuff, y'all. Can we talk about bathroom stuff?
Yeah. Okay.
So as I'm in the urinal, I'm doing what I need to be doing, right? And this gentleman.
I hope you ain't shitting.
No, not in the urinal.
Yeah, exactly.
I haven't done that in like 2 years. So as I'm, you know, doing what I need to be doing, this gentleman walks up to the urinal next to me and just starts this full-on conversation. I'm like, hey, man, you kind of tall. You play ball? I'm like, bruh.
Can we not?
Yes. And so I'm like, oh, it's weird, but like, I guess it happens every now and then. It's whatever, right? Well, wouldn't you know it? I go back to the bathroom later and a different gentleman comes in and starts a conversation with me. What was I doing that night to make people want to talk to me? So for some of you guys that don't know or may know, there are certain rules
unspoken.
And etiquette. Yeah, unspoken etiquette. Or even, no, it's been as far as to be like a you know, guy code or something, right?
Okay.
You don't talk to somebody, first of all, like while they're actually actively going to the bathroom. You just don't do that.
Right.
If I got my dick in my hand, don't talk to me.
Please don't talk to me.
Refrain from talking to me. And yeah, so that's
going on.
If I got
my dick in my hand.
Yeah, don't
unless
do
you're,
that.
Unless you're his girlfriend.
That's a kissing sound, not anything else. kissing on the lips, by the way.
Wait.
On the face lips. Wow.
Anyway.
Derail, man.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah. So.
Dick in hand, no conversation.
No conversation. Also, if there's an open urinal, so there were three urinals and I was taking the far one. I always try to take the far one so I can be next to the wall, so I can shield the, you know. So anyway, there was an open urinal between me and the other person, but the guy chose to take the urinal
right next to you.
So
that's weird.
Yeah, that's weird. That's also a no-no within the guy code. So that's the guy etiquette within the bathroom. My question to you, Sarah, are there any rules as it pertains to bathroom etiquette for women?
So, again, like, if there is a stall open, if there's three stalls, don't take the stall next to me. All right. But I feel like one thing that happens a lot more so, like, at bathroom, bathroom in the bars. A lot of times, like, I'll go into the bathroom, I'm like, shit, there's no toilet paper. So, I'll go to the one next to it, be like, all right, awesome, cool,
wait,
toilet paper
here. Do you pull your pants up yet or no?
No, like, there's pants aren't down. Like, I check. Like, I'll walk in and be like, yes, toilet paper. Cool. Now, sometimes I don't because I'm like, yo, I just really got to fucking pee. Right? And then at that point, it's just, you know, best wishes.
best wishes and swishes.
Let me just shake this dry. But let's say I'm walking this stall. No toilet paper. Damn. Okay. Let me just walk to the other one. All right. Toilet paper. Score. I noticed that there's a young lady then that went into the said stall that I was just previously in that has no toilet paper. What I think should be a common courtesy and etiquette is like, hey, there's no toilet paper. Here's some. And you do it with the underneath the underneath the door joint.
Right. Yeah.
That's
a good look.
I feel like a lot of people don't do that.
Humanity
is dying and people are not being courteous with the toilet paper.
They have no empathy.
None.
Yeah.
Absolutely none. And it makes me sad.
Yeah.
It's how I know this planet is going to hell in a handbasket.
All right. Personal question
Make
time.
America great again. Uh-oh.
Do you blow it up in public?
I mean, if I gotta go, I gotta go.
Okay, I'm just saying, because you know some girls out there be like,
Some
girls would just as soon like go home to blow it out. It's like, bitch, it's 7 o'clock.
Like, yeah, let me tell you this. Like, if I know it's gonna just be a bad situation, then I might just, you know, say, hey, might just call it time of death. But hey, if I gotta go, I gotta go.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I do think is funny to me, I was talking to one of the ladies at the gym and she's like, oh my God. Like, she came upstairs after going to the bathroom. She's like, ah, someone was definitely taking a shit in there. And I was like, hold up. Let me see if I understand this. You're upset that someone went to the bathroom and took a shit. Hold on.
I guess she would prefer that shit in her sock drawer.
Right? And I get what she's trying to say is like, yeah, okay, fine. It stunk up the whole bathroom. But where would you have liked this young lady to have deposited the goods?
Or the bads.
Yeah. Clever girl. Yes. Like, what did you want her to do?
Right.
What did you want her to do? Let's say, you know, she just gets to the gym and she's like, oh, well. I'm not going back home.
Right. Exactly.
You know, like, where would you have liked her to take this said bowel movement?
Yeah. Oh, them bowels were moving. Let me tell you.
That peristalsis was on the go.
On the go. Yeah.
Metabolism on fleek.
Yeah. I just thought that was really interesting because oftentimes, you know, women and men have very different like rules and things like that. You know, conversation. I don't know if y'all are like having conversation with somebody next to the stall or whatnot, or if that's like off limits.
I don't go in there looking for a social situation.
Right.
Okay.
Hey, but sometimes shit happens.
Ayo. How many shit jokes can we make? A lot. I like how this episode covers emotional cheating and then shitting.
Yeah. We run the gamut.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like, I'm not going there like, oh, I wonder who I'm gonna talk to today.
I hope I meet the love of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's anyway. I'm glad that you made it through your awkward situation.
I mean, there was no shit involved, but you know.
I mean, it might could have been.
Nah. And so ends the shittiest episode of them all.
I feel like we probably have had shittier conversations.
Probably.
On air.
We probably have.
Yeah.
I think we probably have. But, and once again, we're interested to hear, you know, what is some bathroom etiquette that you guys have established over the years? You can reach out to us on Instagram at the BTW Podcast, Twitter at the_BTW Podcast, Facebook.com/TheBeautifulTrainWreck, and even email.
Email.
TheBTWPodcast@gmail.com.
Yes. These are all things that you can do.
Yes. And you should do.
Keep an eye out for Mike and or Eric of the Mike and Eric Experience. And when you see them, tell them that, hey, guys, we would like to hear another crossover episode.
Yes.
It's in the works. Where all of us are kind of just suffering from commitment issues right now.
Right. Yeah. So
peer pressure them a little bit on our behalf.
Yes. Because we're pushing for this to happen.
Yeah.
That's not a shit.
Had to get another bathroom joke in before we left.
That's right.
Yeah.
So thank you for listening. This has been The Beautiful Train Wreck. I am Jay.
I'm Sarah.
We will see you next week.
Bye.